Adam loves nature now.
Colby and I were talking about what our activities are for the snowstorm, and we landed on Botox. So if you want to...
Yeah. How do you know it wasn't a date?
Towards the end, I was like, I think he's going to try to kiss me. All right, look alive.
Look alive.
Alive and well.
Welcome to the circle.
The circle? Is that what they say on the show? The
circle? I actually have no idea. I don't know why. I just saw the coffee table and it was a perfect circle in front of me. And I was like, welcome to the circle. Welcome to Adam's circle.
It's giving host of the traitors.
Yeah, we're at a round table.
We are at a round table. Should we all start fighting to the death across from each other?
Well, we're not going to spend like 15 minutes at the top of this episode talking about traitors again, because we did that last week.
We just love the traitors.
Which, you guys, we don't have like...
We're really influencing people on TV lately. The Traitors, Heated Rivalry. What else do we have, actually? I don't think anything else. That's the only thing that's been, that we've been watching.
I just watched a really fabulous three-part show last night.
What's it called?
So it's rather quick in terms of like these, you know, usually like eight parts to a TV show.
Yeah.
Like three parts. And it's called Seven Dials. It's an Agatha Christie mystery that was adapted into a three-part British mystery TV show. It's on Netflix. And I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I watched it with Jack. It was one of those shows you can watch with a man.
Love.
And
I don't even know who Agatha Christie is.
Agatha Christie is the top-sold mystery writer of mankind.
Oh.
She's only outsold by the Bible. And I think like the encyclopedia.
The Bible, like the Holy?
Yeah.
The Holy Bible?
Like Jesus.
Oh.
Like this woman, she's...
I didn't even know they sell Bibles. Is it, are Bibles not just free? Like,
I think you can buy your own Bible.
Wait, but like who's
B-Y-O-B.
Selling...
B-Y-O-B.
Who's selling the Bible? Like what?
B-Y-O-B. Like this, Colby, that's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Like the Catholic Church.
No, but like... I'm so confused. Like, who's profiting off of
the
Bible
Pope?
Sales?
Adam, the Bibles religion? Are not free. Unless you're like...
Wait, but you saying it as if it's like a New York Times bestseller. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the Bible and then it's Agatha Christie. It's like, who's profiting from the Bible being sold?
I think the church.
Wait, that's actually such a good question. I'm going to Google
this. But like, is the church producing all of the Bibles? Like, I'm
yeah,
just
they
so,
gotta work with some.
Do they
I'm
just
sure
have a Bible
they, like, must print them.
Yeah. Wait, I'm so looking this up. Who profits off of Bible sales?
Wait, your friend met the Pope.
Who? Oh, Jackie.
Yeah, I literally was like, that's actually so cool.
Wait, I think I saw that yesterday, but it was like, I was like, oh, I'm happy for you, but like, I don't.
I was like, where is he?
I know. I think she's in Rome, right?
Oh.
I think that's why.
I mean, that would make sense.
That was probably the highlight of her life. I actually need to text her about that. That's a good reminder for me.
So, profits from the Bible go to a mix of entities, including large publishers like HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson, Zondervan, Bible Societies, American Bible Society, United Bible Societies, specific authors and translators, and celebrities and public figures who license their names for branded editions, such as Donald Trump.
Of course.
He's a licensed edition of the Bible?
He made $300,000 from selling Bibles.
What?
That man loves to license his name.
Wow.
Wait, well, this is literally an article. Bible sales hit record high in U.S. in 2025.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody is everybody's depressed and scared and turning to religion.
As Americans see cope in uncertain times.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Wait, I need to know like how much the Bible
Should
is
Should we
making.
Buy a Bible?
Like, maybe.
So, yeah, Agatha Christie is the best-selling novelist of all time, outsold only by the Bible and William Shakespeare.
Oh.
So that was her...
The Bible's got some competition.
Kind of wild that the church doesn't make any money off of that. They really...
What do you mean?
The Bible.
Oh, the church? Like,
yeah.
As a whole? Well, there are Bible societies that profit from Bible sales. Interesting.
I need to know the Bible sale numbers. Like, how much... What is the Catholic Church not telling us?
Adam, you're in the wrong industry. You gotta switch jobs.
Like, guys, do I need to go into Bible sales? Like, yeah,
you need to make your own Bible.
Well, it is one of the things that will quite literally, I feel like, never not be sold. Like, you know,
I feel like as
transition proof,
trends like will alcohol. Change, new technologies will emerge, but people are still gonna want to profit off the Bible.
I had no idea that people were profiting off the Bible. This is really news to me. This is unlocking a whole other career path that I could be taking right now.
Well, I do think, like, growing up, I want to say I was given a Bible for free from, like, when I did my
CCD.
Yeah, like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm pretty sure you can just go into any box and just pick out a Bible.
A box? Where's this box?
You know how they
have those, book donations.
You know how they have those little, like, book exchange things, like the boxes. Do you have this in your neighborhood?
Oh, you mean
maybe that's like an Eastport thing? I don't know. Well, I thought it just exists everywhere.
What's it called? The free library and
the little library. Little library. It's, I think, called little library.
Little library. We have one in our neighborhood too. It's like in a tree.
Yeah,
is like, yours in a tree.
Just go to the little libraries and pick out a Bible, or if you like, I don't know, just go to anywhere. I just feel like there's Bibles everywhere.
Go anywhere.
Maybe I'm wrong. Because now I'm like, where actually are the Bibles? Like, anywhere isn't specific enough.
Did you think when you clicked on this episode today, you'd be hearing about
the Holy Bible?
I'm way into a deeper rabbit hole of the Bible.
Bible sales. I mean, technically, I brought it up because I brought up Agatha Christie. But,
Agatha.
But whenever I think about, like, an item like that, I'm like, I wonder what is the family that is just rich as hell? And if you ask them how they made all of their money, they're like, we sell the Bible.
Bible sales.
Bible sales. Bible sales are up.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I need to know who the Bible family is. Because, like, you know, there's, like, a family for everything. Like, freaking gum. There's a family that's, like, you know, made a shit ton of money for probably inventing gum.
Who's the family that profits off of, like, Girl Scout cookies?
That's an interesting one.
Because, honestly, isn't Girl Scout cookies a nonprofit?
Oh.
Or the Girl Scouts?
Here I go to Google America. Again.
It's like the Bible.
Yeah. Who profits from Girl Scout cookie sales? Because that's another thing. Because
it's the Girl Scouts of America. Like, the organization.
When I sold Girl Scout cookies, there were, like, prizes, but, like, where does, like, the money from the prizes come?
Well,
like,
I think Colby's right. So, theoretically, I think the Girl Scouts of America is probably, like, a nonprofit organization. Yeah. And so, the sale should be going to supporting the Girl Scout activities.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
like,
yes, because they do, like, camps and all of that stuff. I had to go to a manners class for my Girl Scout tribe.
But, you know, every little parallel has some corruption going on. So I'm sure that there is some family profiting off of Girl Scout cookies.
Some family with their hand embezzling. In the cookie jar.
Yeah.
No, it says that it's, yeah, it primarily benefits local councils for programs, the troops for their activities and goals, the commercial bakeries that produce the cookies.
Okay.
And a small portion. I would love
some Girl Scout cookies.
There really is a whole like ecosystem of just
But it seems
Girl
like
Scout cookies.
They're all it's all like nonprofit type thing. So you're right.
Very interesting.
Unless there's something nefarious going on behind the scenes.
There might be. I love hearing those stories. I love the nefarious.
An expose.
Did you just hear my stomach?
No.
I think the microphone did.
I didn't. But there's like a ray of sunshine in your direction right now.
Oh, am I glowing?
No. Yeah. God loves that we're talking about the Bible.
He was like, thank God, with Adam, us. Finally.
Adam found God.
Adam found the Bible as his first step in the right direction.
I'm so dead.
No, literally, the second we started talking about that, all of a sudden, the sun is just like...
The sun is streaming through the window onto Adam.
I know that the sun has been out recently, but today feels like the first sunny day in a while. Which I think it's because it's not ice cold.
Wait, so I had no idea that you guys were dealing with this whole epidemic again. Over here, because I've been gone for a couple days, but I feel like in the couple days that I've been gone,
it felt like 3 degrees on Tuesday when I was going to the office.
But I was checking the temperature and it said like 30 or 40, so I was a little bit confused. But everybody said it was like the Arctic tundra.
Oh, maybe it was like frigid.
Mm.
I think the high temperature on Tuesday was like 19 or something.
Well, I saw this TikTok that said, if the temperature outside is younger than I am, I'm not leaving the house.
Oh.
And I subscribe to that.
Interesting.
It's a good policy.
Okay. Yeah.
Until a certain age.
Well, and I'm talking Fahrenheit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Until we're above freezing.
Actually, wait, Celsius would make it even worse, right?
Yeah, because it'd be like, you'd be screwed after 16. You'd have
so I'm really not leaving the house. If it's Celsius.
Wait, actually, yeah.
I don't know.
But like 16 degrees Celsius is like, I think 58 Fahrenheit, 60?
Because Fahrenheit's more like, it's
higher than Celsius usually, right?
I used to like really be able to do that conversion on the spot where I'd be like 15 degrees Celsius, 62 degrees Fahrenheit. But now I don't think I remember.
Yeah, it's always like negative Celsius these 16 days.
16 Celsius in Fahrenheit. Watch, maybe so off base. I'm just so curious if I remembered the conversion. What is 16 Celsius in Fahrenheit? Oh my God, I was actually so right.
What did you say?
16 Celsius is 60.8 degrees Fahrenheit. And I think I said 60.
Fascinating.
Wow, gorgeous right about now.
I don't know. The people can keep me honest because honestly, I have no idea what I said, but I think I said 16 to 60.
Well, it's because you're a world traveler. So
I'm just such a world traveler.
You have to stay on the pulse of these things.
I guess I do. I will say, I was telling Colby, I think I told you too, I had the best day I've ever had in San Francisco. Like,
you
ever.
Did not tell me. I want to hear all about it.
Oh my God. Well, so I went to San Francisco for work and I was only there for like 2 days. So I flew Monday, which is a holiday here, and I flew in the morning at 7 a.m. And so I got like basically no sleep the night before. Landed in San Francisco at like 10:30 because you technically get time back going east to west. And my friend who lives there, who I've known for like forever, and I actually think I've talked about him on the podcast like in the early days, because he was one of my clients who I went on a few dates with. It didn't end up like, I just wasn't interested, and so we went separate ways, but we obviously have like stayed very good friends over the years. And he lives in San Francisco now. He used to live in New York. And he was like, oh my God, you're coming to San Francisco, like I'll plan a whole day for us, because I feel like you never actually do stuff in San Francisco. Like normally I'm just consolidated to Market Street in San Francisco, which is kind of like the main stretch of companies. Mm-hmm. And it's like by the water and it's like pretty, but it's like very corporate industrial. It's not like the cute neighborhoods or the hills of San Francisco. It's kind of like the lowest point, I feel like. And so it's not pretty or fun. And I'm always just like between the office and the hotel. So anyways, he was like, I will take you and like actually show you San Francisco. And so he picked me up from my hotel. We went to do this hike. It was like for people in the based in the Bay Area, it was like the Tennessee something trail, I think. It was what it was called.
Did you see the trees? The like really tall trees?
There were tall trees at the base of the trail. But it was like this giant mountain. And my friend was basically like, okay, pick your poison. Do you want to do the easy route, the medium route, or the hard route? And I was like, I mean, obviously I want to do the hard route. Like
Of course, I would expect no less from you.
Like, I'm a warrior.
Okay.
And so we go the hard route. And I am not even kidding. The hard route is like scaling Mount Everest. Like,
just like uphill.
I feel like people who know this trail I'm talking about will kind of know exactly what I'm saying. But you literally are looking directly at this hill and it's a wall in front of you.
It's just straight up.
That you have to climb up. Yes. And if you look back down, and it's, mind you, it's all sand. So like you slip, you're done.
So my fear about that is the way down.
No, literally, I was like, how the hell are we going to get back down?
Because oddly with that, like the way up, yeah, it's like challenging, but the way down is scarier, because if you lose your footing, you're rolling.
No. Guys, imagine being on a treadmill and doing like, I want to say it was like an 18% incline. Like, you know how the girlies do like a 12-3-30? Like, this is like 12 times two. Like, this is like,
jeez.
Like, I was, you know, working for an hour and a half, mind you.
My God.
My Oura Ring was crazy.
It said that I was those steps.
Yeah, I clocked it. And he was like, you're the one who picked this. And I was like, no. I am happy that I picked this. Yeah. This is exactly what I wanted.
Do you think he was hoping that he would say easy?
For sure. I mean, mind you also, like, I was not prepared for this because he was telling me like how to prepare for this hike. And he was like, by the way, it's like not actually like a real hike. It's like a walk. Like, you know, most people are in their like aloe like sets and stuff like that. Like, it's like a cutesy, like pretty walk. You'll see the water or whatever. And then we get there and he's like, okay, the cutesy little walk is this way. The like medium cutesy walk is this way. And then the extremely intense, like hike. you want to die potentially hike is this way. And I was like, I need the want to die hike basically.
Okay. That's so crazy.
He was like, but it's going to be worth it because you get up there and it does have the best view because obviously you're like scaling the mountain. And we get up and it is actually, it looked like the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland or like.
It was gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. It was stunning. Did you see my pictures?
I won't show it, obviously, like, because seagrass.
None of the podcast people are going to be able to see it, but it was stunning. You're on this like extremely high peak and there are just these beautiful mountains and there's little birds. And at one point he and I were walking down the path and this massive falcon is just like, I'm not even kidding. I think it may have been a bald eagle. It was like flapping its wings, like literally 2 inches away from us.
Adam loves nature now.
Guys, I was I was shook.
Adam was like, wow, the great outdoors.
And it was getting so close to us. And my friend was like, okay, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think it's getting close to us because I think it sees the reflection off your bracelets. And I think it thinks it's food. And is like, and he was like, I think if I wasn't here, it would probably have attacked you.
Oh my God.
And I was like, no. Like, I think it just wanted to be my friend. Like, it just wanted to hang. So anyways, it was like a beautiful, beautiful hike. That was fun. Naturally, I'm not dressed appropriately at all for this hike. I'm in like my nice like suede jacket that my parents got me for Christmas.
Shut up.
And I'm cooking. Like literally the sun is beating down on us. I'm sweating profusely.
You looked good.
I looked amazing, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. And then from there, we went to, what was it called? Marin? Does that sound familiar? You know Marin, right?
Or no. All that I know is Sausalito and the Sequoia National Park, which is where I hiked with my family when I went. And then,
is that where the redwood trees are?
Yeah.
I've been there too.
Sequoias. They're so pretty.
They're huge.
They're ginormous.
If trees could talk, man.
Yeah.
The Sequoia trees.
And you can like go into the trunks of some of them because they're like eroded.
Oh. Aren't they like thousands of years old?
That's crazy.
It's really crazy.
But we went to this town called Marin, which is, I guess, where I think Lady Gaga lives there. Weirdly.
Oh, okay.
So what my friend was telling me that was very interesting to me is that a lot of celebrities are now moving to the Bay Area. And I was like, kind of like, why? But it's because there's no paparazzi there. So people can live like very private, normal
lives.
Like
a peaceful life.
Yeah. Like, so a lot of people are apparently migrating from Los Angeles to San Francisco and who are celebrities because like the infrastructure of LA basically just isn't conducive to people living private lives. Like the second you see someone, like you're obviously following them to their car, and then like once they get in their car, then they're stuck in traffic, and so then paparazzi are swarming their cars, and then it's like a whole situation, and it's just like tough to live a private life in LA.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
because there's so many paparazzi.
Literally cannot do anything.
Yeah, so that sucks. So apparently a lot of people are migrating up to San Francisco, and so the town that I guess a lot of these celebrities live in is called Marin.
Okay.
Or like it starts with a T, also like the other place that I was in. And they call it like the Marin dads and the Marin moms. So I was living my best Marin dad life, which is like all of these like rich dads that just be dads and go to the gym. And
did you change your Hinge location to San Francisco?
Just no,
I to didn't. Like poke around?
I was on Raya for sure. Cause like Raya automatically.
Oh, right.
Updates you. But there was like nobody of interest.
Nobody of note at the time.
San Francisco's also
and you were
like,
there for literally one night.
I was there for 24 hours, basically.
Hey, you never know.
But I will say it's kind of funny, and my friend will definitely listen to this. He and I obviously had this thing like forever ago, right?
Yeah.
And the entire day I was like, this literally feels like a date. Like it is like a friend date, but it literally feels like a date. Like he like picked me up from my hotel and like planned this whole day. Like we went to Marin and we sat at this place called Sam's on the water and we had oysters and french fries and like had drinks. And it was just like a very cute little moment. And I like bought this hat. And then from there we went and aww, he drove me to like the top of the mountain and we watched the sunset over over the Golden so Gate romantic. Bridge.
How do you know it wasn't a date?
Well, he's engaged. So. Oh,
a platonic date.
I was like, wait, Adam, what if it was a date? No, and you're the only one who doesn't know that.
No, but I actually think it may have been because like...
But he's engaged.
In gay world.
Oh.
You know, people have situations.
Right.
You know, like, or not situations, but they just like... Well, I think it was a friend date at the end of the day, but towards the end, I was like, I think he's going to try to kiss me.
I mean, that's what I would think that too, honestly.
The romantic sunset park drive sounds like a perfect opportunity.
This romantic sunset park drive. And mind you, I was hammered also after we went to Sam's. Like I had two drinks and I was like off the rocker because I had slept for 2 hours the night before.
And hiked a mountain.
And so then we went to the top, watched the sunset. And then from there, we went to dinner in San Francisco. He was like, this is a really amazing restaurant. I think it was called, something supper club. I don't know. People on the podcast will probably know if they live in the Bay Area.
The locals will know.
Apparently, it's like a vibey place. And we get there and it was honestly amazing. And then afterwards, he wanted to go to a bar after. And I was like, no. Like, we've literally been out all day. I have no brain cells left. I need to go back to the hotel because I also had a really important meeting the next day, which is what I was in San Francisco for. And so I was going to part ways with him. Basically, I go out and I could tell that he was, it seemed like to me, he was going to try to kiss me.
Shut the f- up.
He's going to listen to this and be like, I wasn't trying to kiss you. Like, shut up.
Okay. We'll hear it from you, sir.
But I literally think he was trying to kiss me because I ended up swerving to the side because I was obviously going in for the hug to say goodbye. And I feel like because he was so close to my face as if he was going to kiss me, he ended up having to kiss my cheek.
Was he going to do the French double kiss? Isn't that what the French do? The double kiss?
There was definitely no double kiss, and he's definitely not French. So my guess is probably no. But anyways, that was my whole day. And then I literally immediately sent Colby a voice note after being like, I love my friend. I'm pretty sure he just tried to kiss me.
That sounds like a great non-date.
I'm not even kidding. I told him, I was like, this is the best day I've ever had in San Francisco. Like, it was amazing. It made me obsessed with the Bay Area, honestly.
Are you moving away from us?
I would never in a million years.
Are you going to be a West Coaster?
No. Definitely not.
Definitely not.
I will say the sad part about San Francisco, there are so many homeless people. And they are so like, many. And they're not nice homeless people. Like, they will attack you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The homeless people here, at least for the most part, or a lot of them, yeah. I wouldn't even say for the most part, there are obviously incidents, but like they kind of keep to themselves.
Yeah. In San Francisco, they do not keep to themselves. Yeah. And they're mean. They'll like start screaming at you. Like, you can't even like give them food or like do anything nice for them because they're going through it.
Yeah.
They're aggressive.
Yeah. They're a little aggressive. But anyways.
Noted.
I would not move to San Francisco. I mean, you hear about people dying in the news all the time and it's like tech billionaire CEO stabbed to death on Market Street, which is where I literally go to work.
Okay, noted.
So anyways, be careful out there.
You're painting a full picture of San Francisco. Yeah. You're not just giving it the sugar-coated...
No, but seriously, like, beautiful place.
Full picture.
When we were up on the hill, I was like, oh my God, like, tell me more about San Francisco. He was giving me, like, a whole history lesson on San Francisco. Obviously telling me about all this, like, the celebrity migration.
Yeah. Why did he move there?
For work, I think. Yeah, work. But I think he's going to move back, which is exciting.
After his wedding?
So you can go on more platonic dates. Platonic dates are extremely important.
Is his husband going to come?
Well, I literally, when he picked me up in the car, I was like, oh, where's so-and-so, like his husband? And he was like, oh, he's home. And it's like, oh, I thought you were bringing him. Why is my voice cracking? So
you were like, nervous.
It sounded like Goofy.
Yeah.
Nervous.
I don't know. He's literally going to listen to this and be like, you're ridiculous.
You misread.
Well, set the bar high. I'm
100% sure he was going to kiss me.
It sets the bar very high for future
Well, it's
dates.
Easy to deny now. It's over.
True.
And you didn't kiss him.
I literally love him, though. Like, honestly, like, great, great friend. And it was such, literally the best day I've ever had in San Francisco. I was so happy that I ended up going and being able to experience SF outside of my core little bubble. So highly recommend.
I'll have to put it on my list.
We should go.
I haven't been there.
You've never been to San Francisco?
Not San Francisco. I've been to San Diego.
Mm. Oh, I need to go to San Diego.
And
I
LA,
was wanting to go for President's Day weekend, but I don't know if I'm going to do that now.
We could.
It just Companion seems
pass.
Like a lot.
Companion
oh,
pass.
Yeah. We could go there.
Colby and I keep going back and forth because I have this Delta Companion Pass. Should we just do the intro real quick?
Yeah. How about you just take it away?
Welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam. Girls, how we doing?
Because we're going to forget. I wonder how many episodes we've fully just forgotten.
Not many.
I feel like not many. I feel like we're pretty good.
One of the three of us. Between the three of us, someone's going to remember to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, so Companion Pass. Talk to me. This is the Delta Companion Pass.
Delta yes. Companion Pass.
How I went to Puerto Rico.
Colby went to Puerto Rico on right. a Companion Pass. One of my friends basically is not able to use her Companion Pass this month. So she was like, if you want it, you got it. Like, take my Companion Pass. So I told Colby and I was like, if you want to go somewhere, I have a Companion Pass. Like, we can figure it out and do a quick weekend trip.
How do we know if we have one of those? Is it only for like...
It's like in your Delta app.
Oh, I got to check.
Also, like, if you don't have a Delta loyalty program, you need one.
I have a loyalty account on... Spirit. Like, I have a loyalty account on every airline.
Delta is seriously the best airline. Like, I literally got upgraded to first class on both my legs to San Francisco and then from San Francisco.
Oh, that's incredible. And I saw that someone wrote you a note.
Steward?
The flight attendant?
I don't think they go by stewardess anymore. I think it's flight attendant now.
Okay. Is stewardess like a inappropriate name?
No, I think it's just antiquated.
Oh.
It's just old. Okay. I don't know. I just am pretty sure they want to go by flight attendant now. Okay.
the flight attendant wrote me a handwritten letter, and it was so sweet. It's so funny that Katie
responded. They had awful handwriting.
Yeah, I said, and it's funny because you could tell at the beginning of the letter that they started out strong, and then they got tired of writing, and then towards the end, it just like got sloppy.
Like but rapidly downhill.
The thought was there. But you know what? I tried really hard to read it.
They probably had to write like a few of those, like or maybe like 100.
I honestly thought I was special because he gave it to me when I was in the bathroom. Like, I got out of the bathroom and he was like, I just wanted to thank you for being a Diamond Medallion member. Like, here's...
That's know, really card. Nice that they do that.
Like, blah, blah. And then I go back to my seat and then all of a sudden I see him giving it to, like, all the other freaking Diamond Medallion members. And I was like, well, I thought I was special. Okay.
I remember one time I went on a work trip with L'Oreal. Like, but this was before I worked for L'Oreal, but I was, like, an influencer in college. And I still had, like yellow hair. And I went on this trip to, I want to say it was, like, to London. And I remember sitting down in my seat and I got one of those notes handed to me because, of course, like the people, the corporate L'Oreal person booked my trip like points up the wazoo. And so I got like a handwritten note to me, like really. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, like somehow they follow me on YouTube.
He's like, it's a van.
And then I like over time learned, I kept the letter. I brought it back to college.
Oh my God.
It was on my desk.
That's so sweet.
They were like, thank you for flying with us. I'm like, oh my God, they're a follower.
See, I just like love
my ego.
A personal love little touch. Things
like that.
No, it's so nice. Do other airlines do that? Like give I'm letters? I'm sure.
Like if you're like, I mean, they probably take it out of the Delta handbook though. Because Delta, I feel like, has a fierce loyalty to it. Like, that I don't think like, other, like, loyalty programs have, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, you never see people posting about, like, United or American or Spirit, you know? People post about Delta.
I don't think anybody does that to Spirit. But I will say, I flew Spirit one time to come back from Charleston. And my flight left early. And, like... everything went off without a hitch. It was a very seamless travel experience.
It's good.
Yeah. I'm about to have to fly them again, so hoping for the same result.
I will say, though, airline loyalty is a trap. Like, you pay a premium for Delta.
Oh, so definitely.
Obviously, like, you're also getting a premium experience, but, like, at the end of the day, you're still flying in an aircraft in the air, and they're all not that different.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Except for you have to pay $55 to bring a carry-on on Spirit.
Okay, that would upset
me. But even with the $55 for the carry-on, the flight is still $100 cheaper than every other airline flying back from Florida the day that I'm coming back. So I will be going on the yellow plane.
I've never flown Spirit before, but I do know they have like the reputation of being like, the people make fun of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, people but are like, you take off like on Spirit, EasyJet. Are you going to land?
But do you think that they, I took EasyJet so many times
EasyJet.
When I was abroad. Like,
yeah, or Ryanair.
Yeah. But like with Spirit, do you think that they like their reputation of like the joke?
Yeah, they lean into it.
Because
their social media like makes fun of themselves.
I feel like that's like genius. Like sometimes you just got to ride with it, you know? Like
they're the budget airline.
Yeah. I love that for them. I did see a proposal recently on Spirit Air.
Oh, yeah?
On the internet. I'm not sure if it was, like, legit or not.
Interesting. I actually...
Like, I don't know if it was real or, like, a joke. I didn't actually, like, look too far into it.
But this just reminds me. I was so drunk on Friday night. Like, I just had, like, one of those days where I was just out from 6 p.m. to, like...
No, you left for the office at, like, 10 a.m. and got home whenever you got home.
At like midnight or 1 a.m. I mean, you guys were out later than me for sure that night.
Yeah.
But I had like just drank a lot because I'd been out for a really long time.
It was the volume.
Yeah, there was like a lot of volume, like a lot of martinis.
Yeah.
And I basically wake up the next day and I'm looking at like what damage I did on my phone. And my last text to Alex was, hey, I've been thinking about this. I want to get proposed to on a plane. Kind of like Crazy Rich Asians. Anyways... This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, especially going into February, sometimes it feels like everyone else has it all together with their love lives. Whether you're married, dating, single, the truth is, most of us are still figuring it out and finding our own way. And no matter where you are in your romantic journey, therapy can help you find your way. Help determine what you want, what feels heavy, and how you can take some pressure off of yourself. And that's why we love BetterHelp.
BetterHelp works with licensed therapists in the U.S. who follow a strong professional code, so you're getting real qualified support. They do the matching for you, which takes a lot of the pressure off of you. You just answer a quick questionnaire about what you're looking for, and based on years of experience, they usually nail the match the first time. But if it's not a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime, no
awkwardness.
Guys, I promise everyone is on their own timeline. Take it from me. We're still trying. We're still figuring it out. And if it's weighing on you, you can talk it out in therapy. So don't worry.
Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
You guys know that Matchmade loves Quince. Quince is all about elevated essentials that feel effortless. Designed for layering and mixing, each piece helps build a timeless wardrobe made to last. With versatile silhouettes and thoughtful details, they're the kind of styles you wear again and again.
I have my eye on the 100% washable silk slip dress on their website, thinking of wearing it for Valentine's Day. We'll see. Quince has the wardrobe staples with quality that's made to last. Think 100% organic cotton sweaters, premium denim made with stretch for all-day comfort, luxe cotton cashmere blends, perfect for the changing seasons. Everything you need for a wardrobe that actually lasts. And I love that Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories that cuts out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markup, just high-quality clothing.
Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/matchmade for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/matchmade to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/matchmade.
Check it out.
Huh. So
that's very you.
I really do see that for you. Spirit Air?
Honestly, maybe. Maybe that's in my future.
I mean, it's quite the story. And it becomes like this. Did you see I only saw the parody of Madison Humphrey. Do you know who she is?
Yes, no. I love Madison Humphrey. Oh my God.
She like does the remakes of viral videos. And she's so funny.
I don't think I know her.
So she's a parody person. She'll like redo, like people will tag her in the comments of viral videos and then she'll remake the video with like her family and friends. And so there was this one viral video on Southwest leaned into it, genius, where there was like a literal marriage ceremony that happened on a flight, like while they were boarding. I don't know like the circumstances of how they were allowed to do this, but they had like full on like a wedding ceremony in the aisle of Southwest Airlines, like of a flight. And so she redid it and she worked with Southwest to like have an actual Southwest plane and brought like her whole friends and family on. And they like, she nails it down to like the random lady in the third row that has like blonde hair. Like she made sure like her friend wore a blonde wig, like that sort of thing. She like really locks into the bit. But what I love about her is she always asks for permission from the original video person before she does it. And if she doesn't get permission, like she won't do it.
Her comment. Oh, so you always know that Madison Humphrey is about to recreate something because she'll repost it. And then she'll also comment on it and it'll be like, check your DMs or something like that. And then the check your DMs will have like a million likes because Madison Humphrey is at this point like so famous.
She's such a, like, it's so genius. Hilarious.
Wow,
well, and she's respectful. She's, because parodies have been happening for forever. You know, YouTube, there were like parodies back in the day of like music videos and stuff. But like the difference is she asks for permission and she's very like respectful with how she does it. But it's still hilarious. And people like at this rate are like, sometimes I feel like people do post things like wanting to be Madison Humphrey. Like it's become a verb. She's a verb, which is so impressive.
I can't believe I don't know who this person is.
She's gonna
pop up. I
feel
like you would recognize her maybe if you saw her stuff.
She's such a recognizable face.
Different corners of the internet.
Yeah.
Like her facial expression's like the same in every video. She's just like,
she also does it so quickly. Like somebody will post a video and Madison Humphreys will like comment on it, repost it, and then within 24 hours she'll have a full skit executed.
Well, she'll do like gender reveals, she does like all sorts of things. There's one where she's, well, she also like posts regular videos too, like sometimes she's just, so there's this one video she's been tagged in a lot, which is this like wedding day, and it's like one of those, they're taking content of like the bridal party, the bridesmaids and the bride, and this one girl like stands in front of the camera and like twerks, like there's a twerking bit to it, and she like,
she needs to recreate, said, Victoria Beckham's first dance.
Oh, literally.
I'm sure she's all over
but
that.
She said she made a video and she was like, guys, I see your comments. I don't have the assets necessary to do the twerking video. And she, so now people are like making videos to talk to Madison saying like, I will be your stunt double, I will twerk for you in the video. I'm just like loving being on this side of the internet, like that isn't negative. It's just like funny,
just like Madison Humphrey's lore.
I'm trying to build my For You page to be
like a nice place to be and not something that stresses me out.
Those are my favorite comments. I built my for you page brick by brick.
Yeah. No, seriously. I've been getting really good stuff, like magic tricks.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of magic tricks are we talking about?
Just like magic tricks. Like magicians on stage. Like I've been seeing that. I've been seeing the Madison Humphrey parodies. I've been seeing lots of watercolor content, because I'm going to start watercoloring.
Ooh. Oh, that's a hobby for you?
Yep, it's next up after I start needlepointing, which I'm going to do this weekend when we get the big snowstorm.
Okay.
Maybe.
Colby and I were talking about what our activities are for the snowstorm, and we landed on Botox. So if you want to...
Yeah.
Botox and blizzards.
Yep.
Botox and blizzards. So anyways, if you are interested in that...
Have my 10 a.m. workout.
10 a.m. workout, 11 a.m. Botox.
Sunday, actually, my forehead has started to move recently. Like,
oh, I haven't gotten Botox in like over 6 months.
I haven't gotten it since the three of us
or like in 6 months,
which is like years
ago. And I was going to try and not get it and maybe do a laser treatment and like do facials instead. But I was actually deep in my camera roll the other day. I forget why I was looking for something, but it's so wild to me that things that happened last year in my brain happened like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I will think that I went on a trip like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, and it was like 3 to 5.
Scary.
We're getting old. It's very scary. We're getting old.
Your forehead looks perfect, Colby.
Thank you.
Okay,
so maybe I will just do a facial or a laser treatment, but I want to do something. My skin feels like scary.
Is this your frown line, the one in the middle?
The 11s.
Yeah, the 11s. Is that what it's called?
In the middle of the eyebrow.
Okay, yeah, mine have gotten so bad. So I like really need... Do you see this? God is shining the
sun
his light.
The sun is really in your eyes. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
We need the sun, okay? We need it because a blizzard's incoming.
I really feel like God is really happy with me that I've been talking so much about the Bible.
Yeah.
He's really just
next
like...
Next thing you know, you're going to be in church on Sunday.
I need to start talking about more gay stuff. You're going to
work out and then go to mass.
You never know. If I talk about more gay stuff, maybe he'll... get this light out of my face. Sir. Oh,
it's really coming. The sun is really streaming in.
No, guys, I don't think this has ever happened, and I've sat in this exact same spot so many times.
No, it's because we started talking about the Bible. I'm telling you.
Everything has like a very angelic glow to it. Like
God is real. He's with us.
Well, I just have tanner on my face, so that's what you're
seeing. I was going to say, you look pretty tan.
Oh, I need to tan, except I'm not doing anything.
Your face is literally so tan. What did you do?
I put on Lumi Glotion.
Oh my God, it looks really good.
Thank you. You should get it.
You're glowing.
L'Oreal.
Does it like get into your skin? Is it like just a topical thing? So when you wash it off, it's not going to be
glowing? Yeah, it's like basically a tinted moisturizer, but it has like glow to it.
Got it.
Yeah.
A lot of celebrities use Lumi Glotion.
It's so good.
Really?
I remember L'Oreal. That I put on my face.
We would like send it to
work
people.
Days and stuff.
I need to get that. With my money.
What?
I don't know what I was going to say.
It's at like
CVS. I was like, do CVS. I have a gift card to that? Oh, good. I like literally can't focus on anything because this...
You're being blinded.
You don't need to look at me. Just look ahead.
Oh, wait, here we go. Okay.
Yeah, move.
Do a little, I could do a little pivot.
You can move your butt. Move your butt.
No, that's okay. My butt's planted. You're this like is a good stretch for me also.
You're doing like an ab workout.
Yeah, I have a little, you know. We're doing some, what's it called? Some side bends.
I need to go to the gym today.
Series.
It's so selfless of you to take your mom and aunt to go get Botox and you didn't get any. It's very selfless.
Why didn't you talk yourself onto that?
It's so selfless.
They thought I was getting it with them, so they were confused. But I was like, oh, I don't need it right now, but I do need it now. So
okay, so now
something happened in the past 3 weeks.
I've been looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, girl, you gotta fix these.
Yeah, I think I really want to do a laser. Maybe I'll do that instead.
Okay.
I really want to get my upper bleff done.
Oh, I've been
Everybody's
seeing.
Everybody's getting bleffs.
Yeah.
Upper and lower.
Well, it's because people found out that that's kind of like the secret surgery that people get, basically. Because I've always wanted one, technically, because I've always had a droopy eyelid. So like one of my eyelids droops lower than the other one. And I always notice it.
I've never noticed that before.
Yeah, I think it's this one.
Mine's my left eye.
Yours is your left. I think mine's my right. I could be wrong, though. But anyways, I really want to get
bluff. One on the right and I'll get it on the left.
God, twins, we should. But they're so expensive, though.
I know. My mom got one, but insurance covered it.
Oh, I wonder if
you should look into that.
You have to get, like, yeah, Insurance will cover it, but it has to be like a certain degree of like
droop.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I think it technically has to be like impairing your vision, which mine definitely does not.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mine's like such an aesthetic thing for myself. But yeah, I really want to get an upper bleph.
My issue isn't necessarily under eye bags. It's like I get really puffy, and then once I reduce the puffiness, it's like hollow. But I'm more so puffy than I am hollow, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like my eyes are just puffy all the time.
Yeah. Well, they look good right now.
Thanks. I'm wearing a ponytail, which doesn't feel like me. But I had to work out after work yesterday because something happened. My class got canceled, whatever. And I didn't get home until like 8 o'clock. Had to still have dinner. That threw off my whole nighttime routine. Usually I work out in the morning and then I'll like shower, wash my hair, get ready for work.
Right.
And now I'm like, I'm obviously going to work out again today. So I didn't want to wash my hair last night because I didn't sweat that much in my class.
So what's the point? Yeah.
So now my hair is just dirty enough that I couldn't wear it down. So I had to wear it up and I don't feel like myself.
You look good.
Yeah, it looks good on you.
I think ponytails are so underrated. I think that everyone feels like ponytails are like, unless you're doing like a fancy pony,
yeah,
like a party pony. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I think people think that a ponytail is like, quote, lazy, or like, you can clearly tell I haven't washed my hair. But I, whenever I see someone who I don't normally see in a ponytail wear a ponytail, I'm like, wow, you look beautiful. Like, I can see your whole face.
Wow.
Also, it almost like gives you free Botox because it like pulls your forehead back.
It does pull your forehead back. But I really think ponytails like need more love. I really do.
I just never wear my hair up in general.
Well, I think it looks good.
I think you should continue with that.
I am working out.
Yeah, I think you should continue with that because I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Yeah, and now I can see your earrings.
Thanks.
Are those the Electric Pix earrings, the ones that in the front?
No, I've had these for a while.
Shut up. I feel like a lot of people have been posting like ones that look just like that. Yeah, no. Electric Pix, and I want them.
But I was complaining about how one of my cartilage piercings closed and I want to get it redone.
Ah.
Because now I don't have my like layered hoops.
I see.
So
Katie is literally giving you the exact same sequence of compliments that I gave you this morning while we were on the way to Katie's apartment.
Okay, so it's reinforced and it's coming from
positive reinforcement.
We did not.
I'm looking beautiful. My hair is up. My earring stack is looking good.
No, yeah. Colby literally exited the bathroom this morning and I was like, oh my God.
See, I'm telling so you, ponytails are underrated.
Okay. I'm going to start wearing my hair up every day.
No, I'm serious. Do it. So, should we answer some questions?
Yes.
Are we at that time of the episode?
Yes. Yeah.
So, there's one message that I honestly don't even know. Like, we could cut this out. Like, we might not air this, but I think I just need to read it.
I'm so excited.
Okay.
What do we got?
Hi, y'all. I've been meaning to share this story for a while, which is the role this podcast played in my breakup. About a year and a half ago, I was dating this guy who was struggling to find a job despite his Princeton degree, so he got a job as a bouncer at a bar. Maybe about a month into working at the bar, I was listening to this podcast when Colby said, I was at 82 Stanton last night and the bouncer was so hot. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I think the title of the episode was Hot Bouncer or something. Or we
Well, then he like thirsted out on that.
Okay.
He took that and ran with it so hard.
So back to her email. She says, I immediately paused the podcast and called my boyfriend to tell him the podcast I was listening to shouted him out. So she like told her boyfriend to listen. A month later, he breaks up with me, citing he can't stop thinking about having sex with other girls.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Which I guess at least he was honest, but
could have kept that to himself.
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess he could have, whatever. Anyway, flash forward another month. He starts a TikTok account called Hot Bouncer and stitches the clip of Colby saying that as if it was a spontaneous viral moment. I couldn't believe it. It's been a while now, so no hard feelings. It's really a funny story I get to tell new people I meet. Adds to my lore. But if it wasn't for this podcast, I'm not sure if the Hot Bouncer TikTok would have started and if he would have had the opportunity to show me his true colors. I need to thank you guys for expediting the process of me breaking up with this guy. Love y'all. Hope you enjoyed that.
I did enjoy that. And luckily that TikTok exists to like give you the ick forever from this man.
No, remember we saw that TikTok and we were like, what is wrong with him?
Yeah.
Well, you know...
Well, then I also saw something Like, a new video came up, and he was like, I'm retiring this account. He's, like, moving to Tampa.
Oh, goodness.
I'm retiring the account. So, everyone's safe now.
Everyone, Mark's safe from Hot Bouncer.
Well, there you go. Just thought I'd read that. I saw that meme.
That was very interesting.
I'm like, this is, like, deep match made lore. Like, this was years ago.
I think we've been doing the podcast, like, 4 or 5 years, I think.
Yeah, like,
another thing in my head 2 years ago.
No, I know. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, wait, didn't we celebrate 3 years? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And remember when we did the cake for a year?
Oh my God, we needed a cake.
Or no, we did the cake for a million.
For a million streams.
We're baking a cake on Sunday.
Oh my God, yes. If you want to come?
Yeah, can I come over for that?
Please.
Botox and cakes. Yeah.
Wait, I can bring my mixer.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Bring your mixer, and then we can get like little cake decorating kits.
Yes.
Wait, okay, I'm in this. Do we have a cake decorating party?
Maybe.
Oh my God, guys.
We need to like brand this. Cakes and... Kids? No, we're not kids.
No, cakes and something.
We'll workshop it. Okay.
Cake for days.
I was about to say something really inappropriate. The first thing that came to my mind was not.
Cakes by the blizzard. Okay, next email. Help, I love him, but I fear the passenger seat. Hi, Katie, Colby, and Adam. I've been loving Matchmade since the moment you launched it. Thanks for brightening up my Fridays. I can always count on you guys for a good laugh and lots of fun listening. Here's my situation. I've been dating my boyfriend for almost a year now. We're fully committed. He's moving in soon. We've already talked about marriage and kids, so this isn't a question of deal breaker or not. He's here to stay, and so am I. But he's not a great driver, simply put. Being in the car with him is just not a smooth ride. We got back from a New Year's trip, and his brother and fiance, who drove with us, even commented on his driving habits. I jokingly made a comment a couple of weeks ago while we were in the car, and he didn't take it very well. He always drives because he drives a company car full-time, so he doesn't have to pay for gas or anything, so it just makes sense. I'll be a passenger in his car for the rest of my life at this point, and I'm panicking. The question is, do I address it? If so, how? I'm always in the mindset that you can't try to fix or change your significant other, but this feels maybe fixable. It's not like it's his personality I'm trying to change. Please help me find comfort in my new role as passenger princess. Thank you.
You should tell his brother to get him a driving lesson for his birthday.
I don't know what to say to this. Like, it's hard. Because it seems like she already tried to have a conversation with
him. And also, like, driving around a man would just not feel right. Like, whenever I'm with a guy, I assume they're driving.
I don't know.
Like,
I drive Jack around me up everywhere. I love to drive. I'm like, you're sitting in the passenger seat because I want to drive this whip.
I'm kind of laughing because like that I don't drive.
Adam can't drive.
So like this is me.
But like everyone's been in a car where they have felt like, oh my God, this person is a terrible driver and I'm like stressed out. Like either they're on their phone or like
mm-hmm. I mean my dad drives like a maniac.
It is stressful. Like, yeah, but I feel like some guys genuinely feel like it's a flex to be like a chaotic driver when it's really scary.
Yeah.
And not cool. I think you just, honestly, this is one of those conversations that you need to like be very serious. You can't be like half joking about it. You have to be like, hey, I need to talk to you about something and this is serious.
But I wonder if he's a reckless driver, if he like stops short. Or, like, doesn't know where he's going. Like,
oh, it's not a smooth drive. Yeah, maybe he's one of those people that's, like, heavy on the brakes.
Mm. Yeah.
Heavy on the brakes.
That's a lead foot.
You know what's so interesting, though? Like, the way people drive, I feel like, is, like, ingrained into their personality. So, for example, like, one of my friends, he drives like he's a race car driver. Like, he weaves in between traffic on highways.
Yeah,
like speeds all the time.
It stresses me out.
But it's weird because, like, when I'm in the car with him, like, he's so methodical about how he does it all that I'm like, I kind of feel safe here. Like, it almost feels like we're in like an electric car and it's like taking deliberate movements like through and weaving through traffic. But like that's how he drives, and he has the worst road rage. Like, if somebody cuts in front of him, he'll be like, fuck you, and then like he migrates around. So I don't know, I feel like it's like you can't fix that sometimes though, which is weird.
Well, I think once you have kids, if you want kids and they're in the car, that is when like habits need to change, if that's the case with like him and whatever. Like, you can't be driving kids around like that.
Yeah,
like
for sure
that's scary.
Now you got some, and at that point cargo.
Yeah, I think my dad definitely is like a risky driver too, and like drives very fast. But I think if we were, or when we were young and when we're in the car, honestly, he does, like, he's more cautious of a driver because like you have other lives at risk. But this is a tough one. I do think you need to like have, like, unfortunately, you do need to have a conversation about it, especially if this is like the one and you're living with him and you're like able to do, like, at that point, like a conversation like that where you're like, this is something that's bothering me. Mm-hmm. And I think you can kind of play into it as a safety thing. Like, even if it is just like a, he's stopping short and it's an uncomfortable ride, you can somehow say, like, there's got to be something you can Google to find out, like, that it's unsafe to brake like that. There's got to be a reason that, like, you're not supposed to brake like that, or it's bad for the car or something.
Yeah, definitely. I think you can cite, like, you're going to get rear-ended.
Yeah, true.
I also feel like driving is something that could turn into, like, a bunch of compounded, small, passive-aggressive comments. Like, thinking about myself, especially being in the car with my dad. I mean, it's my dad, not a romantic partner, but I am like, what are you doing? Like, all the time I'm like, why are you changing lanes right now? Like, just stay here. Like,
I think sometimes it's that boredom. That they're bored. They can't stay in the same,
like,
place.
You're like a backseat driver.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad gets so mad, and he would always get so mad at everybody in the car when we would comment on him. And my mom would always do that thing where she would hold the handle and, like, press an invisible brake. And that's just what I imagine all the time.
But he's not a great driver.
That's so funny. She's just tell him.
Yeah. I mean, he clearly knows and is probably embarrassed about it if people have commented on it before. That's why I think going the brother route of being like, okay, maybe for his birthday next year, you should get him a driving lesson as a joke, but I'll make him actually go take it.
How do I address it? Yeah.
You just got to get in there, girl.
Well, because it's also not something that it's like a productive conversation.
No.
Like, you're a bad driver. Period.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think it's like, it's hard. I wouldn't fear having this conversation with Jack because I think he would take it well. Like, if I was like, hey, I have something I need to talk to you about, and he would be like nervous probably. Yeah. If I heard that, I'd be like, oh no, right. Are you breaking up with me? And then I'd be like, here's the deal. I want to be always fully honest with you. And the other day I tried to bring this up in a joking way, and like, it didn't seem like you liked that, but I just like need to get this off my chest because I don't want to keep anything from you.
Yeah.
This is how I feel. And if I'm going to be driving with you for the rest of our lives, which I hope to, because I love you, I just like need this, like I need us to like work on this.
Yeah.
And I would be like, how can I help? Like, would you like me to drive more? Like, if you're not comfortable in the,
yeah.
Or I don't know, there's a way to do it where you're not being condescending.
Well, if he has a company car, he must drive a lot, which is crazy that he's not good at
it. Maybe it's the car.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the car is like, some cars are like, the brakes are really sensitive.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like the car.
I don't know, but if this is the least of your issues, you're
doing
great. Golden.
Yeah, honestly,
that's all I gotta say.
Honestly, you're great. And at this, honestly, if I were in your shoes, I'd be like, I'm gonna drive more.
Yeah,
because I love to drive.
You
can't relate, but I do love to drive.
No, I definitely can't relate. I have no, like, people crave driving. I feel like you do too.
When I go home, if I can drive, I will, or like, I don't mind it, but I definitely don't love driving alone.
Hmm. Like, if I like,
and if a guy's coming in the car, he's driving.
We love that. We love gender roles.
Yeah.
I like to drive.
You do like to drive.
I like to drive. But now Jack, he has like he got his updated driver's license, U.S. driver's license.
Nice.
So now he can drive again. So kind of annoyed that now it's like 50-50 for me. Because sometimes he wants to drive too. But honestly, there's nothing like listening to having the first album listen, like a new album, like new Taylor or whatever, listening to it in the car.
Yeah, I think that's more so my thing. I crave being in a car. And if you're driving, then you have say on like the music.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when I'm a passenger, I still am able to play my own music. So it's fine.
Yeah.
On the aux.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aux queen. Is that all we got today?
I don't know, producer.
No, yeah. I mean, I didn't know if you had another question for us.
Oh, no, those are the emails that I've got. Guys, if I've missed your email, just forward it
Give us a bump.
Send you bump it up because we get a lot of random spam emails these days, and it's hard for me to sift through like what's real and what's spam.
My God.
A lot of people want to come on our podcast like as guests.
No, people pitch guests all the time.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Well, it's just interesting because we don't really have guests anymore. So I'm like, do you even listen to the podcast?
Well, it's because when we had guests, the people hated it. They were like, stop having guests.
Yeah.
We're tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this, Grandma.
Grandpa. It's too bad. That's too bad. Anywho.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today, girls. With that, it's been fun. Love ya. See ya.
Bye.
It was such an abrupt ending.
Should we go sledding this weekend?
No.
No.
Where would we sled?
Central Park.
Wait, it's actually funny you said that because when I was in San Francisco, the one question I asked my friend is I was like, do people not be concerned about like sliding down these hills? Like the hills in San Francisco are obviously insane. So when people are driving,
yeah.
I'm like, do these roads not ice over? And he was like, San Francisco's never had ice. Like it had ice. It's been below freezing once in the last like 40 years or something, which is crazy.
Pretty good odds.
Anyways, that's my parting note for the pod.